6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code STU for a special offer when you sign up. That's code STU only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Billy, what are you laughing at?
Just that you still every episode say this is the biggest podcast in the world.
It's not, but I like to say it. Listen, for a moment, for a week, for 2 weeks, I was bigger than Oprah, and it felt good. So
was it for that long?
Hey,
listen.
Chris is here.
2 weeks, tomato, tomato. I mean.
Stugatz, why do you have a Dwayne Wade jersey hanging up behind you?
That's a great question.
Because Dan gave it to me, and I was supposed to give it to someone for charity, and I didn't.
Wait. What? Dan gave you a Dwayne Wade jersey?
I got to be honest. When we cleared out the 790 The Ticket studios and offices, when they kicked us out, that was hanging. The Dwayne Wade jersey was hanging on a wall in the office in Hollywood. And so we were packing it all up and, I just happened to take it. And so,
but the studio didn't shut down after you guys left. Why'd you guys like clear out a studio that was still going to remain a studio?
So our office and studio were in two different locations.
Oh, okay. The office.
So the office was in Hollywood, the business office. The studio was in Miami.
The studio, my bad.
So I took it off the office wall and just put it on my wall.
Hmm.
It's got to have some value. It's autographed, you know? Want to see what else I have, Bill?
Yeah, I actually do kind of want to go through everything that you have behind you because you look like you have like a chalice or something at the top of that. What is that? Be careful. You almost knocked it off the top
shelf.
Yeah,
that thing's about to fall.
Oh, the chalice is just a chalice.
Gator.
It's a Florida Gator chalice.
Got it. All. Plastic, yeah. That's okay. You also had a Gator football he put down.
Yeah.
I'm starting to realize we just have a bunch of knickknacks, not a bunch of value here.
No, this is my prized possession right here.
Okay? Is it?
This is a Miami Heat ball.
Yeah.
You're not even a Heat fan.
Also for charity.
Yeah, but it's got LeBron's signature, Wade's signature, wow. Riley's signature, and Bosch and the entire team. It's the first championship they won.
Oh.
But that ball looks like a knockoff like Walmart ball. It has like a Heat logo on it and everything. That doesn't look like a real ball.
It does have a Heat logo. It's a Spalding ball. I have no idea if it's – yeah, it's
– why don't you put that in a case or something so that you don't smudge the
like
autographs?
You are right now.
Exactly.
I get mayo all over my fingers. Just had a little bite of roast beef.
Ah,
a little sub. That's a very valuable ball. You're right, Billy. I should probably encase it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's look. I'll get it.
You have a baseball. You got a baseball up there too. Is that anything important or not really? It's just a baseball.
Looks like it's in a case.
It does.
Oh, someone just fell.
Someone.
Yeah. This is my little. It's like a Jerry Garcia figurine that a listener sent
me. It was someone.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I told you, Jerry. Yeah, just strumming the guitar.
Keep him. Do right you ever here. Get really stoned and that thing comes to life?
Yeah, it talks to you
every night.
Like Toy Story.
Yes. Who's signed this baseball? I have no idea.
Billy, when you were a kid, did you ever bust into your room real quick just to catch your toys?
Yes, just to see if my toys would like be a little slow that day and not come to life or not go back to sleep when I got in there.
It's a Dan Uggla autographed baseball.
You are such a fraud taking free shit. Like all your stuff, it's nothing meaningful to you. It's just shit you've gotten for free.
Wait,
like,
hold on. I think I have something else in the closet over here.
In the closet over there.
He should have a Knicks jersey, you know, a ball signed by his favorite player growing up. No, it's just all free shit he got.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry Garcia, figurine.
Oh, yeah, hello. Jerry Garcia.
Comes to life when I'm high. I'm going to go check the closet real quick.
You go do that. That's important. Welcome, Chris. Welcome to Stupidity. How long has it been?
Oh, man. When was the last time? I feel like it's always Tim Kirkchin related when I come on here.
I'm excited.
We're talking to him today, right?
Yeah, we are. We're going to talk to Tim Kirkchin a little bit later. We also are working on a project with Chris behind the scenes that I don't know if it's going to live here, if it's going to live on God Bless Football, but stay tuned for that. It's going to, we'll figure that out maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe Billy's really going to like this one.
Yeah.
Ooh. The project or what you're going to show us?
I have a headache. Have you guys eaten today? I haven't eaten enough today.
I ate.
I just had a bite of roast beef.
What'd you eat, Chris?
What did I eat? I had a bagel.
Ooh.
And cream cheese. I'm into sesame bagels right now.
Are you?
I go through phases with bagels. Sometimes I'm a plain guy. Sometimes I'm a cinnamon raisin guy. Sometimes I'm an everything guy. Right now, I am in a sesame phase.
Are you ever a poppy guy?
Poppy, that's like on the Char Hut has the poppy seeds, right? Yeah, I don't love poppy seeds.
Yeah, but you love Char Hut though.
I do love Char Hut.
You like the cheese one, the four cheese or whatever?
Oh yeah, Asiago, like that four cheese bagel type.
Yeah,
thing. Yeah.
So we're gonna talk to Tim Kirkchin here in just a second because the three of us love Tim Kirkchin.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't? But Bill, I think you'll really appreciate this. Okay,
this is in a case, so it's valuable.
This is in a case, right?
Three balls.
This is the five. Now, I actually did purchase this at a charity. Okay, I did. I had the winning bid.
I believe this.
Mm-hmm. I did. 2005 World Series champions. So there's three balls in there. One is signed by Mike Lowell. One is signed by Josh Beckett, and the other one is signed by Trader Jack. How about that?
Wow.
They won in 2003, not 2005.
Oh, well, someone wrote it wrong on the plaque. I mean, I'm not even joking.
Hold on a second. Did you buy a Red Sox?
That's what I was thinking you were doing. I was like, the first two names in 05, I was like, was that when the Red Sox won?
Yeah, I was like, what do you care about the Red Sox? Does it say 2005 for real?
Hold on, let me see.
I'm just picturing Stugatz spending thousands of dollars on an 05 Marlins championship
with
celebration.
Typo.
It's an 03. I read it wrong.
Okay. Mark Lowell, Jack Beckett.
Mark Lowell.
Josh McKeon.
But Billy, that's pretty nice. Look, got a little Marlin logo right there. How about that?
That's pretty cool. I have two pieces of cool memorabilia. One is actually cool. One is just cool for me that I want to display behind me, but I need to figure out the proper way to do it. Because one of them is a football helmet that's autographed and the other is a basketball that's autographed. But I need to like get shelves that are big enough for those items. So it's a little dicey.
Right. Yeah. Now I have the basketball. Not only is it not encased, it's sitting on the chalice that I showed you earlier.
Wow. mean,
and Jerry's playing music. Oh, my God. The mushrooms are kicking in. All right. Are you guys excited for Tim Kirkchin? I feel like baseball is getting buried here. Like football starts, we forget about baseball, and it's totally unfair to baseball because baseball is having a great season, an exciting season.
I was thinking about that driving in today to the show where – so yesterday, Aaron Judge hits home run number 60, right? I remember where I was when Mark McGwire hit number 62. Like, it was a huge deal. Everyone was chasing, and not chasing, but, like, watching every game. They'd cut into every at-bat. And this is kind of just happening. I mean, obviously, it's not the home run record, but this is just kind of happening, and it's just forgotten because football season's in the middle of going on?
Where were
you? Well, the networks would, you're right. The networks, Chris, would cut into, I'm sorry, what did you say there?
I just want to know where he was. He said he knows where he was when Mark hit that home run.
It's such a better question right than where I was going. Where were you, Billy? Go ahead. Tell us exactly where you were. Chris, do you remember where you were before Billy tells us? I have no idea where I was.
So it's a good question, and I'm going to be mocked. And people are going to come after me when I tell you where I was, especially based on some things I have said on the show in the past regarding space science. But I was at an astronomy club meeting in like sixth or seventh grade. And it was the day that we were going to go up to the big telescope, and they were going to open the big thing, and everyone's going to be able to look through the big telescope. And I remember that I was there because like parents were allowed at that meeting because it was like at night and it was like whatever, so they're like, your parents can come, they can look in the big telescope or whatever too, right? And at the time my dad had a beeper because that was what was going on at that time. He had a beeper, and instead of like beeping him with the number to call back, they just started beeping him 62, right? So we also were very confused. We're like, 62, what the hell does that mean? Like, and who was this? We're trying to figure it out, we're trying to figure out the code. And then eventually we got home and we found out, he hit his 62nd home run. That's what the 62 was for. But we didn't know if it was like supposed to be code for something that someone was sending. And that's that was my night.
Beepers had a time, man. Did you know, like, you came up in that time? So was there a time when you knew all the codes for beeping? Like, what was the beeping code for, like, let's get high?
Stugatz strikes me as a 2 to 3 beeper person. You know what I mean? Like, 420? I feel like.
I had one beeper. The beeper to get high.
420 or something?
No, it was, 420. That's what it was. That was the code to get high. Yes, you're right. 420. It still is till this day. Wait, Chris, I like the idea of when people say, I remember exactly where I was, you ask pressing them on exactly where they were. Like, do you have a remember where I was moment for you in sports?
I was going to say, not in sports. The only one that I go to is like 9/11. I know it's not a happy memory, man. But that's like when you say to me,
where were you?
I remember where I was blank. It's like, you know, in my class in sixth grade, journalism class.
You were in sixth grade. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it was my first year of middle school, but I was in journalism. Like, we had a class that was actually journalism.
That was my first day. I've told you guys about my time as a muni bond salesman for First Miami Securities. And I would just, you know, go through the phone book in West Palm Beach and find guys who were named Murray and give them a call. That my first day of work was 9/11 at that place. Yeah. So
sorry,
I remember
for bringing
exactly.
us here.
Yeah.
Thanks. Let's go to a happier place. Tim Kirchin.
His driveway.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA play-in tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Where are you right now, Tim Kirchin?
I am in my daughter's driveway. She lives 7 minutes from my house. I am doing grandfather duties this afternoon, and this saves me a little time to do it from her driveway, and then I'll go in and take care of my grandson for a little while.
Oh, my God. I imagine, guys, you agree, right? Oh. There's not a better grandfather out there than Tim Kirchin, huh?
No, that's you asked me, I answered your question, as I always do.
I know, but why are you being so humble? I imagine, like, you would be in my top 5 grandpas of all time. I mean,
Tim, with your daughter living so close to you, what are you most likely to call her and need help with? Like, some sort of electronic? Like, what do you need help from your daughter with the most often?
Well, the cell phone is always the number one thing. Anything on a computer is the number two thing. I mean, I'm not kidding with you guys. I am so terrible at so many things, but anything technological, it scares me. And I think I'm going to foul it up. So I give it to somebody really smart, who's young, who understands this stuff. Every time my son comes to town, he goes, need any help with your phone, Dad? I mean, that's like the first thing he says, because I do.
I'm jealous of Tim. I can't wait to be a grandfather, honestly.
Really? Billy, slow down.
Yeah. I'm only.
You just became a father.
Tim, I'm only 15 months into being a father, but I can't wait to being a grandfather already.
Well, it's been great. Our grandson is 21 months. I see him every day. He lived in our house with his mom and his dad in our house for 10 months. So from 3 months to 13 months, he lived in our house. So I got to see him grow up. Then they finally sold their house, finally bought a new house, and now they only live 7 minutes away. So I get to see him every single day, usually twice a day, because they're so close.
Tim, in an odd way, Billy's right. Like being a grandparent, my dad says this to me all the time, is actually better than being a parent, because you'll take care of the grandkid and then you hand them off to the actual parents, right? Like you get all the good parts of it, right, Tim?
Yeah, but that's just a cliche, Stugatz. To me, the best part, seriously, all kidding aside, is that when you're a grandfather, your daughter's involved in the process also, meaning there's an extra person involved in the process, and that's what makes it so good. But when you have your own child, it's just you and your wife, but now it's you and your wife and your daughter who had a baby, so she's connected in different ways. It's fantastic.
I'd be interested to see how this plays out over years with Tim, because Billy, I can give you a little advice. The grandparents love the kids the first like 2.5, 3 years.
Oh, come on.
Once these kids get to like 3.5, 4, my daughter's 4.5 now, and they become a handful. Not as easy to reach these grandparents once they get into like past the 4 year. Like the first few years, they love it. They love all this. And then once they get to be 4,
gets harder.
Oh my God. My parents are harder to reach than they were a couple years ago. I'm not going to lie.
Well, we have a lot of fun together. The basement there's a batting tee down in the basement with a Fred Flintstone sized bat kind of thing.
So he's in the game.
He hits off of that. He hits left-handed. He just picked it up. He swings left-handed every time.
You love that. You love it.
Throws right-handed, and there's a little basketball hoop there, so he can dunk it, and so can I. And he knows the idea of hitting a baseball and shooting a basketball, which makes Pop-Pop here very happy.
Pop-Pop, that's so great. Timmy, on those small baskets, you try to do like windmill dunks and stuff, like all the good stuff? You do, right?
I used to do that.
Do you have any?
When I went on my honeymoon, this was 38 years ago, I found an outdoor court in Hawaii. Wow. And I bought a basketball and I dunked on the outdoor court because it was only like 7 feet high and I was only 27 years old. So we made a movie of our trip to Maui for our honeymoon. It was the stupidest thing I've ever done.
I want to see it.
I brought it home and I showed it to some family members, including my uncle, who's a great sports fan and everything else. And he actually asked, is that a regulation size hoop? And I had to say, Uncle Bob, it's 7 feet high, not 10. It's 7. It's the only way I can dunk it.
Tim, of all the things to do on your honeymoon, you were playing basketball by yourself?
That's not all he was doing.
No. I found a court and my wife was kind of filming the whole trip to Maui. So I thought it might be fun to film stupid dad or stupid husband dunking it on his honeymoon on a 7-foot basket. So yes, I wasn't playing. I was just dunking. And then I got tired. And after a while, I couldn't dunk it anymore.
Tim, if you caught the baseball that Aaron Judge hit out of Yankee Stadium last night, would you have given that thing back for nothing?
Well, look, Stugatz, you're asking the wrong guy. Yes, I would have given it back for nothing. It's something that should be in the Hall of Fame somewhere. This is not a money thing. I don't want any money for that. And as a member of the media, that would be a raging conflict of interest anyway. A writer catches the home run ball and then wants something in return. No, that's not happening. But even if I was just a fan, I would give it to somebody who could really use it, like Aaron Judge, or give it to the Hall of Fame where it belongs.
Billy's been railing against Aaron Judge this week on the show with Dan. He has his
exactly.
Over it. I'm not even certain I disagree with him, but I'll let Billy speak for himself. But you're the best in the business at doing this. Can you put what Judge is doing right now into some sort of historical perspective for baseball fans?
Well, it's one of the best seasons that I've seen and I've covered for 42 years. And but let's be clear, as great as this has been, and it might be the best season of the last 10 years, which is really saying something, because Mike Trout 2013 had an incredible season. You can make a case this was as good, if not better, than Miguel Cabrera's Triple Crown season. But once you go back further than that, once you get into Barry Bonds territory, we're going just by the statistics. Barry Bonds, just go look at those numbers. They are ridiculous. And then, of course, when you go back to Ted Williams, Ted Williams had at least three of these seasons that Judge is having right now. And if he hadn't missed three prime years of his career to military service, he probably would have had three more of these seasons. And Babe Ruth had 8, 9, 10 of these seasons. That's how great they are. And it's apples and oranges to compare Williams' era and Babe Ruth's era. But I've had people ask me, is this the greatest season that anyone's ever had? And no, it's not. But see? It is spectacular on every level.
That's what I've been telling them all week, Tim, and they just don't listen to me. I'm like, hey, enough, you know, Aaron Judge, he's doing it's cool, but it's not historically that impressive.
It's historically really impressive. Oh. But again, we don't give Ted Williams enough credit for what he did. And let's remember when he played, you know, there were only 8 teams. You know, baseball, the best athletes in the country were playing baseball. They weren't losing players to football and basketball and track and field. And even though he faced very few pitchers in comparison to the number that Aaron Judge faces today, he saw some pretty darn good pitchers in his day. And I don't think facing Bob Feller 4 times in a game was a particularly great assignment for a hitter. So I just want to make sure, as we celebrate Aaron Judge, which we should, that we don't forget about all the players that came before him.
Why is Aaron Judge not getting walked more? I saw some stat about like Barry Bonds got walked so much more than Aaron Judge. What's going on there?
Well, Barry Bonds got 120 intentional walks in one season. Yes. But that was because Barry Bonds was the most devastating hitter most of us have ever seen. I mean, for me, it's Ruth, Williams, and Bonds, you know, just going by the statistics. But I'm surprised that they pitch to Judge as much as they do. That's the answer to the question. But he's so much better a hitter now than he was 3 years ago, not just with power and strength. He's just become a really good hitter. And if he wins the Triple Crown at his size and leadoff, playing center field, that will only add to the majesty of this spectacular season he's having.
Tim, if he's not a Yankee next year, what's the most likely team Aaron Judge will play for?
Marlins. Please say Marlins. Please.
Ooh, he's not saying Marlins, Chris. He's not saying Marlins.
Well, let him answer, Stu, guys. Maybe he is. Yeah. Okay.
The answer is I don't know, but I'm going to say the Giants.
Oh,
the Giants are in big trouble right now. They are a subpar offensive team. They need some star power on that team immediately. They have room for him. I think they have money for him. And if they're going to run at all with the Padres moving forward, and more important, with the Dodgers over the next 10 years, they better add an impact hitter. Of course, Judge is from that area. To me, he's a perfect fit with the Giants. That doesn't mean he's going to the Giants. You asked me about a logical choice. That's at least a logical guess.
How much of a mistake did the Yankees make by lowballing Aaron Judge in the offseason and not locking him in? Because they probably cost themselves, what, upwards of $75
million? Yeah, I think it'll be more than $75 million. I think he's going to get $35 million a year for 8, 9, maybe even 10 years, depending on, even though he's going to be 31 next season. Whatever contract he gets next year is going to start with a 3 instead of a 2. But I'm not sure the Yankees felt like it was a complete low ball situation. Remember, he'd never had a season quite like this before. He got hurt an awful lot. And he was, you know, 30 years old, not 25. That's a big difference. But will they regret not upping that offer? They probably will. But again, I still think they're right there to sign him. Let's say he wins the Triple Crown, he wins the MVP, and they win the World Series. How in the world Are they going to justify letting that guy get away?
Are there any hitters in baseball that you look at and they put up numbers and you just don't buy them as a good hitter? My nominee is always going to be Giancarlo Stanton. I think he guesses. I see him stare at too many fastballs right down the middle for strike three. I think he is a guy that doesn't have, like, he's the opposite of Miguel Cabrera in terms of he can get fooled by a curveball and still hit a base hit to right field. Who is, like, the best statistical player that Tim Kirkchen's not buying as a great hitter?
I like that.
Well, that's a pretty good choice in Stanton because, as we know, you can pitch rather easily to him when he's not swinging well. I had a talent evaluator tell me that Stanton is the weirdest hitter I've ever seen.
Yes.
I said, weirdest? What does that mean? He goes, I've never seen anyone hit a ball harder than him. And when he's locked in, I've never seen anyone hit it harder or farther than him. But when he's not locked in, when he's at his worst, he's as easy and out as there is in the American League. That's what a talent evaluator told me. So he got another big hit last night. And if they're going to win, he's got to move. He's got to start swinging again like he did, has in the postseason the last couple of years. So he has an odd statistical line most years. There's no doubt about that.
Tim, do you despise football a bit from this standpoint? Like, baseball dominates the summer, and then, like, baseball's having a great season. The Mets are good. The Yankees are good. The Dodgers are good. The Cardinals are good. Pujols is doing his thing. You have Judge doing his thing. They have all the right teams, with the exception of maybe the Boston Red Sox, that Major League Baseball would want in their postseason. And yet, football starts, and it swallows the entire sport up. So I'm wondering, do you despise football? Do you hate it?
No, I like football. I like to watch football. I don't understand football anymore. Again, I'm 65 years old, and ever since they went to the bubble screen and the skinny post, I don't even know what I'm watching anymore.
Right.
I used to watch when guys would play the entire game instead of, oh, he's a pass rusher, only plays on third down. Look, I think football is really cool still, but it was a better game when I grew up watching it, when there was, it was harder to be a quarterback back then. Let's put it that way. You could hit people. I'm not suggesting like people getting hurt or getting hit, because it's the most violent game I've ever seen. It scares the life out of me. I just think the game was better back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. Sorry.
It's soft now. Just say football's gotten a little soft for your liking, Tim.
Well, look, I'm 5'4" and 140 pounds, and I've never really truly been hit in football in my life. So I'm the last guy that should be saying that. I just think it's a tough physical game, and it's not as tough and physical as it used to be.
Yeah. You like what you're seeing out of Tua so far, Tim?
Yeah,
what do you think?
You in on Tua? Two in or two out?
I haven't watched him play since he threw that one pass for Alabama to win the whatever it was. That was ridiculous. He's a really accurate passer, though, right?
Do yourself a favor. Don't watch anything between that game and this past week's game in Baltimore, where he threw for 469 yards and 6 touchdowns. Just watch those two, and you'll know all you need to on him.
All right. Well, I don't watch. I like football. I just don't have time to watch it, especially during the baseball season, because it's really interesting now, and I'm not huddled around my TV on a Sunday.
But Tim, he's no Sid Luckman. I mean, that's it. Period. End of discussion. <He's> the-
Tim, going back to Judge for a minute, do you think, obviously, MLB is trying to capitalize on streaming services and all that. Do you think that it may come back to bite them if Aaron Judge hits number 62 on Friday on Apple TV, where you would have to have that specific subscription to watch it?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. But, you know, this is how it works now. This is how the world works now. I'm at my daughter's house right now, and they don't have like a regular television. They have a regular television. I don't know how they get shows on the television. Like at my house, you turn the TV on and you hit a couple buttons and hey, there's ESPN and there's Fox. I don't know how their television works.
Yeah.
So that's how the world works now. So even though, yes, it would be unfortunate if only a few people got to see Aaron Judge hit 62 on a Friday night, this is the way the game works and it's the way the world works and we just have to deal with it.
Well, how are you going to watch? Do you know how to access that? Like, are you going to be able
to call
see
his daughter?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure that out because I, you know, I have the extra innings package, but I don't think it's on the extra innings package.
No, so, just plus, right?
All right, well, then I'm going to have to figure that out in the next 48 hours where I'm going to watch the game on Friday night.
Tim, we used to work there. They give you a username and password. You have it. You can find it.
Well, again, nobody's worse at this stuff than me.
Yeah.
I'll Wait, but Tim, to your point today. Tim, to your point, it's so funny because when we left ESPN and we were on television and now we're on YouTube, my daughter said, finally, you're on a channel that I watch. So it's like, right. You know, it's crazy. Tim, we were talking about ballparks that give you goosebumps earlier this week when you walk in, right? Jess was talking about Wrigley Field. I talked about the first time I walked to the Yankee Stadium. So on the way out here, so you can get back to being a grandfather and we'll leave you alone. I'm wondering, top five parks for Tim Kirchen that he walks into and he gets goosebumps.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fenway's always number one because it's the oldest one. And every time I walk in there, I think, oh my gosh, Ted Williams played right out there and Babe Ruth pitched right there. And the dimensions are still the same. So that will always be number one for me. Wrigley Field is number two just because of the same idea, the history and the age of that place and how much it's changed over the years. And I just love that place. So that's two.
And then Marlins Park.
Pardon me?
Marlins Park three.
Yeah, I'm getting
Pro Player Stadium.
Yankee Stadium is number three, just because even though it's the new Yankee Stadium, somehow I've been able to transfer that history across the street. So many great games there. Dodger Stadium, which is the third oldest ballpark in America. That's number four. And number five is kind of a hometown park for me. It's Camden Yards in Baltimore, just because this renaissance of new ballparks, the cozy old time feel to them. It was all started by Camden Yards. So those would be my five, one through five in order.
Not the drop, huh?
Yeah. OLI.
All right, Timmy, who do you have winning the World Series? Who's going to win it, Tim? Dodgers?
I've got the Dodgers playing the Astros.
Wow.
I've got the Dodgers winning the World Series. Fellas, you seeing what they're doing. They're 58 games over 500. They have the best pitching team, hitting team, and defensive team in the league. And they're gonna win 112 or 14 games, and they're devastating. And they got a bunch of injuries.
Would baseball rather see Yankees Dodgers or Yankees Mets? Baseball, not you, just baseball.
I think baseball would rather see Yankees Dodgers, but I think Yankees Mets would be spectacular. There are a lot of really great matchups ahead, and that's why this postseason is going to be tremendous, especially in the National League.
All right, Tim, we miss you and we love you, and we appreciate the time doing this from your daughter's driveway. You're supposed to be watching the kids. Who's watching the kids, Tim?
Well, he's taking a nap. He'll be up any minute. And I just wanted to be here. My daughter's in the house. I just came over to help.
Oh, thank
her.
Goodness.
Good, good, good.
Right. I knew that. I knew. I mean, these guys, what do you guys take Tim for? I mean, geez.
Yeah. A guy who would leave his grandson.
Right. Left my grandson.
To come talk baseball with us?
Yeah. That's not going to happen. Sorry.
You said your little grandson is a lefty. Do we have him? Like, are any player comps yet?
Huh.
Well, he's a left-handed hitter, so he already reminds me a lot of George Brett. I know that sounds ridiculous, but
he batted 391 one year.
It was 390, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was making sure he was paying attention. That's all.
Yeah.
Does your grandchild also have anger issues?
No, no, he's great. He's a great kid. So all is well. I got to go take care of him.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah. Good. All right. Get out of here. We love you. We miss you. Get out of here. Thank you for the time.
Okay, guys. See you.
Stop yelling at us. See you.
Okay. I got to figure out how to turn this off.
Yes.